Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Yes, sir! Yes, sir! How we doing on this Friday morning of Labor Day weekend? Chris McMonagle filling in for Evan and Tiki here in the afternoon on this Friday. As we get ready to, really, this will be the last Friday. We get ready to end summer, and this will be the last Friday without football. But we're going to start with some football. We'll get to the baseball. The Mets had a great win yesterday. The Yankees lose another series to Washington, start another one with St. Louis. As we get closer to those games, we'll get to the baseball. We'll get to the Giants as well. But I want to start with the uphill battle that the New York Jets continue to face. And we didn't talk about this much yesterday as I filled in for Evan and Tiki with Sean yesterday. And, you know, I was just listening a lot to Moose. Does a great job. Love Moose. Good to see Moose. Don't see Moose much. The negativity surrounding, I think, the football teams right now, and even though there's more optimism, clearly, with the New York Jets and the New York Giants, and sure, there's some negativity, as we heard yesterday, with Moose, that the coach feels like he's coaching for his job with the Giants and different things. We know who's coaching and GMing for their jobs with the New York Jets. And the problem is with the New York Jets is they continue to fight an uphill battle that I've talked about a lot, and it's being the Jets. It's being the losingest franchise, if losingest is a word. I'm pretty sure it's not. The most losing franchise in not only the NFL, but in all of professional sports. And having this 13-year drought of being a playoffless, lackluster organization who does everything wrong. And not only do they have to compete with the Miami Dolphins, and not only do they have to compete with the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs if they're looking to win a championship, but they have to compete with themselves and the perception that whenever anything is up for grabs, anytime there's a problem, anytime something is said incorrectly, anytime there's an issue, it's the Jets being the Jets. And so when we look at all the different things we're upset about this team that, quite frankly, let's speak pretty plainly about it. As I mentioned, we'll talk about the baseball. And yes, the Yankees are a game up, and we can be frustrated with them, and certainly, but they have a legitimate chance to win a championship. That's fine. The Mets, big win. If they make it into the playoffs, you could argue they're a dangerous team. But we always like to talk about who's that next team that can bring a championship to this city that hasn't had one in a long time. And there is no doubt, despite the fact that it's been 13 years without playoffs, there is no question to me that right at the top of the list, the New York Jets are right there as the team that is built, without question, to bring a championship, or built as well as any other team in this city, to bring a championship back to New York. And so when you can't quibble with the roster, because let's be honest, even the Hassan Reddick situation we're going to get into here, and we're frustrated with how it's handled, and we blame them for the miscommunication, and they should have ironed out a deal before making the trade, or shouldn't have even made the trade. And you know why we say that? Because when we look at the roster, they don't even need him. We're going to get to the Giants at 888-808-1019, and now it looks like they might bring in Adoree Jackson. And what's the difference? They desperately need Adoree Jackson. They desperately need another cornerback. They desperately need someone of competence and experience in the defensive backfield to hopefully sustain, you know, any kind of option of winning when it comes to a pass-happy NFL league. And you look at the Jets, and sure, Adoree Jackson is Hassan Reddick is someone who's had a lot of sacks in this league. No one's had more over the last 4 years. He's a legitimate pass rusher and a legitimate player. But when you look at the options this Jet team has, part of the reason we're frustrated with the Jets and how they've handled it, and part of the reason why I heard Jerry this morning and people are frustrated with the way Joe Douglas has talked about it publicly and frustrated with the coach for not being on the phone with him and trying to get him here. And why we're all frustrated is because it seems like a headache that doesn't even necessarily need to be here, because the Jets are talented enough to still be someone who could win this division, still be a team that can compete for a championship, still be a team that I believe is headed for the AFC championship game without him. So when you can't quibble with the roster because it's that good, you have to turn to how they handle the situations. You have to turn to how they handle the quarterback who has been a four-time MVP, a quarterback who is as good as anyone we've seen play the position a quarterback who consistently leads his teams to 12, 13 win seasons, division championships, NFC championships, albeit not enough Super Bowls as you would like from someone as talented as him, but a guaranteed veteran, unbelievable, one of the greats to ever play the position, when he decides to go to Egypt, we got to quibble about how what the coach said and how they could have made a story when there didn't have to be a story and all this and all we complain about with the New York Jets. And the fact of the matter is, Aaron Rodgers is here, and when he is here, he does lead your franchise. And when he is here, everything he does, no matter what the coach says or how they handle it, is going to be a story. Whether he's possibly running for vice president, whether he's going on vacation, whether he's going to catch a Ranger game, whether he's exchanging necklaces with his teammates, whatever he's doing, it's a story. When you're the New York Jets and you've brought in the savior to the franchise. So you got to quibble with everything. And now the story that came out yesterday about an unnamed agent, and I wonder whose agent it could be, who calls the room a disaster, and that Aaron Rodgers has been given such control, and it's just such an unbelievable crap show at Florham Park with the New York Jets. It's absolute garbage. I don't believe that story for a second. Does Aaron Rodgers have control? Of course he does. Did Tom Brady with the Buccaneers? You bet your ass he did. Of course he did. When you bring in someone, when you're the Jets and you are playing Zach Wilson and you are throwing parties and your team is wearing matching shirts that Mike White has taken over the starting position, when you bring in Aaron Rodgers, yeah, he runs the show. And there's nothing wrong with that. And when you look at other teams in this league, quarterbacks have control. Now, Patrick Mahomes doesn't have that control. Patrick Mahomes was a rookie who came in with one of the great head coaches in the league. Tom Brady needed to leave Bill Belichick to get control. Sure, there are instances where there are great quarterbacks who came up through a system who don't have the level of control. But when you bring in an Aaron Rodgers, the idea that he's allowed to have control as some sort of negative thing, or that it's perceived a negative that the head coach isn't the man in charge, or that the head coach has to be the leader, or as Delvin Cook apparently said, there was no game plan when Aaron Rodgers went down. There is no game plan for losing Aaron Rodgers for the entire year. There is no game plan for losing Patrick Mahomes for the entire year. And if you expect the coach to pull miracles, then that is somehow some indication that he is not a real head coach. And you look at Robert Saleh, and how could you tell me he's a good head coach? Well, he's been given the worst quarterback room in the NFL for his entire career here. And if you think that doesn't matter, just look at the different coaches. Look at Zach Taylor of the Cincinnati Bengals. He was considered a fool until Joe Burrow got here. And then Joe Burrow plays, they go to the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow gets hurt. What happens? This is the NFL.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
NFL, you need the quarterback. And I'm not saying that we know that Robert Saleh is a great head coach. What I'm saying is I have a hell of a hard time making judgments on a head coach who's been given a situation that's unwinnable in. Unwinnable. And we talk about that Delvin Cook quote, and we talk about the idea that the Jets had no plan for when Aaron Rodgers went down. Sure. They allowed the backup quarterback. We talked about what a disaster that was, to allow Zach Wilson, a player that the team had no faith in whatsoever, to go down and be the backup quarterback if Rodgers went down. Did they come back and win that game against Buffalo? I believe they did. Did they beat the previous undefeated Philadelphia Eagles? I believe they did. Now, did they go to the playoffs? No. With that quarterback situation, as good as this defensive roster is, unattainable. The playoffs are not attainable with that quarterback. That's what I believe. But now Aaron Rodgers, who apparently, you know, runs everything and it's a major problem, well, with his teammates, they absolutely adore him, but they're also not afraid to challenge him, as we've seen during camp here with him and Garrett Wilson getting in each other's face. That kind of thing is good. He's the leader. He's the one they believe in. But when there's a problem, there's conversations to be had. When there's someone who needs his arm wrapped around him, When Mekhi Becton needs his arm wrapped around him, there's Aaron Rodgers. When there's a problem and Garrett Wilson, the best offensive player, are right there with Breece Hall. As talented as this roster is, when there's an issue, they have no problem stepping up and having a legitimately tough conversation with this quarterback. Everything I have seen from this Jet team, whether it's the roster, how they react to the quarterback believing in this team, the quarterback doubling down on his coaching staff, doubling down on the people he believes in when he joined this organization, the way they've performed, the way he still looks, the way the team rallies around him, as good as this defense can be, everything I see about the New York Jets screams championship contender. Everything I see. And so we can quibble about whether or not the coach is the real, you know, alpha male in this relationship between the quarterback. Here's a clue. He doesn't have to be. And we can quibble about what's said in the post-game or the interview room by the GM on what's going on with a situation with a pass rusher that he traded for, and that right now, absolutely, he should be in the room. And it's a failing of the Jets that he's not, absolutely. But we don't know everything that happened in the situation, and clearly something went wrong between when the trade was made and when he decided to hold out. But here's the fact of the matter is, he's a luxury. He's a luxury. That right now, as you get ready to start this season, and everybody's worried about the San Francisco game, I'll tell you what, they just had an issue with Brandon Ayuk, who they solved that issue, but he hasn't practiced at all. He's just getting back into the swing of things. You got Trent Williams, one of the best left tackles in the sport, still holding out. I'll tell you this right now. I like the Jets week one, and I like the Jets and this early part of the schedule. And if the Jets get off to a good start and the Jets start playing winning football and Aaron Rodgers lasts more than four snaps and you have this new revamped offensive line to go along with Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall and Mike Williams and Aaron Rodgers and this defense with Quinnen Williams up front and the best cornerback tandem in the league in the defensive backfield, and you start winning games, no one's going to care that Haason Reddick isn't here. One, because he probably will be. And two, because they don't need him. That's how good the Jets are. As we sit here today, the Giants are in desperate need of a Dory Jackson. And the Jets don't need their star pass rusher they traded for. Is it embarrassing? Sure. Is it part of the Jets being the Jets? Sure. Does it change their ability to win? Does it impact them to such a level that they are no longer a team destined for greatness? And I believe in this GM, and I believe in this head coach to some level. Are questions out? Of course. Have we learned everything we need to know about Saleh? No, we haven't. But he hasn't been provided an opportunity to honestly go out there and win. So when you tell me Aaron Rodgers runs the room, yes, and it's not a problem. And you tell me right now that the head coach hasn't gone out and tried to recruit a defensive pass rusher who... He knew what he was getting into. The idea that Robert Saleh should be on the phone trying to sell Haason Reddick. Haason Reddick knows exactly who he is, the defense he played for. He knew the team he was coming into. This is a guy who's sitting out losing $50,000 a day. The head coach is going to call him and say, hey, you don't understand. You're playing for a really good defense. Why don't you come on? He understands. He's making a business decision, which is well within his rights. And it's an uncomfortable situation. And you know what? If this happened to the Chiefs, or if this happened to a winning franchise, if this happened to the Eagles, who this was happening to the Eagles in some respect, Haason Reddick would be getting a lot of the blame, and not the New York Jets and not that franchise, because they're allowed to make mistakes. And they're allowed to have to cut Tony. And they're allowed to have all kinds of problems in their receiving room. And they're allowed to have all those problems. Why? One, because they have a great quarterback. And two, they win. And so the New York Jets not only have to win for their fan base, who hasn't seen a championship since 1969, not only to keep their jobs, not only to make it palatable to trade for Aaron Rodgers and bring in this circus, not only to justify that, not only to justify everything else, but to get rid of this dark cloud that hangs over the franchise when anything goes wrong or anything is said that can be questioned, it is, and they're to blame. And the fact of the matter is this team is too talented to allow that to affect them. And I think when you look at the early part of this schedule and you look at the talent on this roster, Hassan Reddick is making a bad bet because this is a good football team. And he's hoping that they lose some games and Brock Purdy throws the ball all over the place and this defense struggles and guys like me will get on the radio and start screaming about what was supposed to be and what is. And the Jets will be forced to make some sort of drastic change in their opinion on whether or not to negotiate him without being in the room or give him a long-term contract. When the fact of the matter is, as this early season goes on, the Jets are going to win football games. As long as Aaron Rodgers stays healthy, they are going to win football games. And the idea that they finally have a competent backup only does one thing. It covers the team in case of minor injury. But here's the bottom truth that goes for the Jets. It goes for the Chiefs. It goes for the Dolphins. It goes for the Bills. It goes for almost every team in the NFL. If Aaron Rodgers falls down four snaps in and he's gone for the year, they're in trouble. And the idea that there should be some backup plan for that, no other team in the league has one. But we get on the Jets for it because the Jets are the Jets. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. So let's talk a little football because I am pumped for this New York Jets season to get underway. I'm tired of the talk. I'm tired of blaming this one. I'm tired of being frustrated with that one. I'm tired of doubting this one. I'm ready to actually see what this Aaron Rodgers plan is going to look like because I believe it to be a winning one. We'll get to the Giants as well as they hopefully, I haven't heard if it's been official yet, but hopefully they do bring in Adoree Jackson because they are in desperate need of a second cornerback. And we'll get into Daniel Jones and everything else that goes along with the Giants as we get ready for Labor Day weekend and the start of the football season next Thursday. There was obviously still baseball to talk about as we await the Yankee lineup and how we can scream about it. And the Mets will be in the worst position possible that any baseball team can be in come later today. We'll get to it all. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you on The Fan.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.